Right. Good afternoon, everyone. Hello to everyone who's listening in on the phone line or if you're on Skype. Hello. Hope you're having a nice Sabbath. It's always interesting, some of the last words I get from encouragement back there from Betsy right before I went up. She's like, "Now you're not going to make fun of me, right?" So I told her no, but I don't know if I just did. So I'm not sure. I'm sure either way. Well, if you've looked at your calendar or watched TV or went to the mall, you know that it's that most wonderful time of year again, to quote a song. It is Christmas time. And again, when I saw the speaking schedule and saw the time, I automatically thought, well, I need to talk a little bit about Christmas. And you know, there's different ways you can go. We've all heard different sermons when it comes to this time of year. Maybe the history of the day, maybe compare and contrast between the holy days and the holidays, maybe some Christian living on how we handle this time of year. We've heard these things, and today I want to kind of go into some of those things, but hopefully go a little bit of a different direction to maybe give us a little bit something new to think about when it comes to this time of year. Now, we all know that we don't celebrate Christmas, so we're going to go with that theory, that none of us here celebrate Christmas. And from the perspective of kind of the physical things that go on this time of year, it's probably not that difficult for us, especially for those who grew up in the church. I never have celebrated Christmas. How many of y'all have never celebrated Christmas? All right, probably maybe half. So we got a good mixture. So for me, not putting up a Christmas tree isn't a big deal. For me, not singing Christmas songs isn't a big deal. Although they are catchy, they get in your head. I had to go to the mall yesterday. Bad idea, but I went because I had to pick something up for Betsy that she had ordered and she didn't want to go. And so, I'm walking down to the store what was it? It wasn't Jingle Bells. It was Santa Claus, I think, was on. And it's in my head, and suddenly I'm kind of like humming. I'm like, what is this? You know? So they are catchy. But typically, we don't have an issue with that. I personally don't have an issue with not having to buy a lot of gifts. God knew what He was doing when He was calling me. I've joked about it, and if y'all know me well enough, I'm pretty cheap with our money. And so if I had to go buy gifts for everyone I knew and people who didn't really need anything, and then I could not handle that. So God knew what He was doing when He called me. So again, these kind of things we don't have that much of an issue with, not participating in. But what about the Christmas spirit? The Christmas spirit that is all around us. Do we let the Christmas spirit in our lives? Now stay with me. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And let's start here, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're just going to read verses 1 and 2. And as we read this, let's think about this time of year and the Christmas spirit that is around us. Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are warned that we cannot be conformed, and that word means molded. We can't mold into this world. We have to be separate, and we have to be different. And when we are different from the perspective of not doing some of the physical activities, that's great. But we need to make sure that we don't conform when it comes to the Christmas spirit. And so today that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Christmas spirit that is around us and how we need to be aware of that and how we need to protect ourselves from that. And then I also want to, towards the end, go to a little bit more of a Christian living perspective on what can we do over these next couple of weeks and how actually this time of year can be spiritually positive for us. from a Christian living perspective. So that's where we're going to go today. Now, I want to talk about a couple of aspects of the Christmas spirit, how I look at it. When you look at Christmas, there's kind of a secular leg to it, and then there's a religious leg to it. And so I want to discuss these two things. And from the secular level, Christmas equals covetousness. Christmas equals covetousness. I also put down consumption, but the covetousness is what I prefer, and when I was thinking about it, I think what makes more sense. Christmas equals covetousness. And again, this is from the secular side. Our economy is based on Christmas. And it is based on the fact that a lot of goods get consumed during this time of year. Without covetousness, we really wouldn't have an economy, and Christmas would not have evolved into what it is today in our society and in our world. Christmas, from this perspective, is all about convincing people to buy as many things as they can for other people who probably already have it in one form or another, or who definitely don't need anything new. But the advertisements, commercials, I mean, look at the mall, right? Basically, early October, you start seeing things. I mean, we basically kind of have 3 months now of Christmas. And especially when the economy's bad, it starts even earlier, because everything's linked together. Here's some statistics that I found. This is for 2014, so this is pretty current. 2014 estimate was that the sales from Black Friday through Christmas Eve would increase by 4.1%, which equates to $640 billion. Now, maybe some of the younger ones here don't know what Black Friday meant. But Black Friday, the reason it was named that was the day that businesses knew that from the time that they started the Christmas season, they would actually be in the black. They'd start making profits. So everything that they sold from January up to Thanksgiving covered the bills. And then they knew from then on it was all gravy, and it was going to be a lot of gravy coming in. And that's why everything's, you know, it's now, what, Black Thursday? I mean, Thanksgiving's been taken over. And again, over the years, you can go back, and I'm pretty sure on this. I didn't double-check, so if there's a history guru out there, you'll have to correct me. But I believe this was back in the Great Depression when Franklin Roosevelt actually moved Thanksgiving. You know, right now it's always the fourth Thursday of November. He moved it to the third Thursday of November, and it was that way for several years so they could have an extra week of shopping, because you have to get the economy going. And so, again, from the secular leg of this, we're looking at Christmas. It is about the covetousness. Another interesting statistic I found, the average person is going to spend $861 on gifts this year. And that's an increase of 8% over last year. When you look at unemployment, it's flat from last year. Wages have not increased, but people are going to spend more and more, because that's what they're coached to do in the malls and TVs and ads and everything like that. So, have we let this part of Christmas spirit into our lives? How much time do we spend, you know, coveting the new thing out there? How much value do we spend on stuff? I talked about this months ago, but the iPhone craze, right? I talked about how on that first day that they released the iPhone 6, it's like they had like $50 or $60 million of sales. I mean, that quick. And this is still a 5, so I still have not upgraded. Although in my head, I have to tell myself I don't need to upgrade, because it would be really neat to go out there and go ahead and get the iPhone 6. This phone works just fine. It's not broke. But in my head, I'm not joking either. I have to tell myself I don't need the iPhone 6. I don't need that. I have something that already works. But that is the spirit of this world, and especially this time of year, it's out there a lot. So we really have to be mindful of that, and we have to ask ourselves and look into ourselves, how much time do we spend worrying about getting something new, not happy with something that we have, comparing ourselves to somebody else? You know, Dolby has an iPhone 6. I could be really jealous of her, but, you know, I'm trying not to. I don't have to be like Dolby. I can be Matthew, and I can be okay with that. But the point is, I hope that you get, is that, again, that is the spirit. And we have to be very careful because this is a major issue. Covetousness may be a staple in our world, but it can't be any part of our life. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 6, just a few pages if you're still in Romans. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. And I think sometimes, especially in our world and where we live, we're very blessed, but we forget how much of an issue this is and how important it is to God. So 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to start in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." So this is something that's important. I mean, Paul's clearly talking about inheriting God's kingdom, and then he says, don't be deceived. And again, we're warned throughout the Bible that you know Satan's ultimate objective is to deceive us. And so Paul says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So we have this list here, and we would look at it and be like, you know, we would definitely agree, wow, you know, idolater, adulterer, homosexuals, of course, they're not going to. But what's right there in the middle of it? Covetous. Right there. Just as serious to God as anything else. And so we are surrounded by this attitude. And this time of year especially, we are surrounded and we're pushed to do that. And so we have to remember that covetousness is a major issue to God, and it is something that we have to either remove if it's in our lives, or we have to be very careful to make sure that we avoid and not fall into the trap that Satan has set for this world. So that's the first point. So we've talked about the secular aspect of the Christmas spirit. The next is the religious aspect. Christmas equals false worship and idolatry. False worship and idolatry. Now, I've actually had to, and Betsy's done, has helped me over the years kind of understand this better and learn. Again, I grew up in the church. I never celebrated Christmas. So in my mind, it was all about my friends and people getting a bunch of presents, and that's all they worried about, and it was just a secular day, and that's all there was to it. But there is a deep religious component to Christmas. The vast majority of people who celebrate Christmas are Christian, and they truly, truly believe that they are honoring God and that they are honoring Jesus Christ. And we can sit here and say, okay, we know they've been deceived. They're confused. They don't understand. But it doesn't change the fact that that's what they believe. Betsy saw something earlier this week on Facebook where I think it was a news channel or somewhere. We couldn't find it this morning. But they had basically posted an article, I guess, about Christmas, maybe some history. And it became this kind of uproar on the comments, as Facebook usually does, of all these people who were just angry about someone saying that Christmas was pagan or that they shouldn't do it. And they were like, no, you know, this is Jesus' birthday. We are honoring him. You know, this doesn't matter what the history was. It doesn't matter because this is what we do now. And so that is a deep component to this day and to this time of year. So when we are talking about the Christmas spirit, we have to realize that. Because again, many people, they know that real history, it doesn't matter though to them. They believe that God is okay with it now because they've made some name changes and some adjustments. And so God is okay with it. Do we do that in our Christian walk? How strong are we in our convictions and our beliefs? Do we do things that we know we probably shouldn't do, but we just kind of think, well, God, he'll be okay with it. He'll give us a pass. I mean, I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to church on the Sabbath. You know, I'm doing the holy days. Yeah, I've got this over here in the corner, but, you know, God will understand. He's okay with it. Do we do that in our lives? Do we get rid of, but again, we're just like, well, that's, you know, that's how we are. Again, we have to be wary of that. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 23, and let's remind ourselves of why Israel and Judah were punished so severely by God. Ezekiel 23, and we're going to start in verse 37. Because again, Israel was, from the very beginning, this is what they always did. They always wanted to fit in. They wanted to be like everybody else. They didn't want to be different, and it continually got them in trouble. And here, starting in verse 37 of Ezekiel 23, we see exactly what led to their punishment. It says, "For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. They have committed adultery with their idols, and even sacrificed their sons whom they bore to me, passing them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbaths. For after they had slain their children for their idols, on the same day they came into my sanctuary to profane it. And indeed thus they have done in the midst of my house." So, again, that is the example set for us. Again, Israel always wanted to blend. They wanted to blend. They wanted to try to fit in. They wanted to still keep the things that God told them to do, but they wanted to be a part of everything else as well. And eventually God just had enough, and they suffered the punishment and the consequence. That is, this time of year, we need to be very thoughtful of that, because the Christmas spirit is deception and blending. And we can't do that in our Christian walk. We can't blend things. God has given us the truth, and that's what He expects us to do. We have to be separate and be different and make corrections in our life where we see that we need to. So now I want to move into a little bit of Christian living. And honestly, I kind of built this part around the youth we have, which is really nice. We have a lot of little kids and a lot of teens. And so I tried to build this a little bit for them. So you ought to pay attention now. So, again, going back to my history, again, I never celebrated Christmas. So I grew up in the church. But this time of year had always been a very negative time for me. And so over the last few years, I think I've in different sermonettes, I think I've shared some things. So there's newer people, so I'm going to share some of the same stories. But there was always something about it. It was almost to the point of kind of a little depression. Just did not like this. Did not like this time of year. Wanted to just kind of crawl in the corner, wait for December 26th, pop out and go get some sales at the mall and move on. But as I've got older and realized that that's not the way to handle this time of year, to crawl into the corner. We can't do that. We can't do that for several reasons. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. You're probably aware of this verse, but let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." So that's number one, the first reason why we don't just kind of go hide. We are supposed to be able to give a defense and a reason to people for why we believe certain things. And we have a ton of resources when it comes to that. The most recent good news, there's a nice little article in it on why Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, and a little bit of history. We have booklets, a couple back there on the back table. You can just go Google now. I mean, you just go History of Christmas, and you can get all the information that you want. So from wanting to educate yourself, it's out there. So we can be educated. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, and let's look at another verse that's very important, again, this time of year. Because this time of year, like I said at the very beginning, we can actually use it to grow spiritually. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 32. Again, Matthew 10, beginning in verse 32. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So again, going and hiding out in the corner isn't an option. Isn't an option. And over the last few years, hopefully I've been able to improve a little bit on some of that. But I started thinking back, well, why was that my first intuition? It's like, let's just hide away and not have to confront or do anything about this. Well, my first memory actually of telling anyone that I didn't celebrate Christmas actually took place in third grade. And in third grade, I had Mrs. Blakely. And I remember clearly this time of year when she gave us an assignment that we were to I remember getting a red and green piece of construction paper, and she told the class to make a Christmas tree. So we were supposed to cut out a tree and decorate it. And I remember raising my hand and saying, "Miss Blakely, I don't celebrate Christmas. I can't do this." And I remember her not being nice at all and telling me she didn't want to hear about my weird beliefs and to make the Christmas tree and to be quiet. I kind of don't remember actually what I did from there. I do remember going home, and I do remember telling my mom and dad and being upset. I remember my dad leaving quickly. I don't know what he did or said down at the school. Rachel probably can envision. But I remember Mrs. Blakely never asked me to make any other Christmas decorations, and there was always something else for me to do. But that is my memory. And so I learned early on, you don't say anything unless you just have to. But that's not right. And again, as we say here, because we are told that we have to defend our faith, and we are told that we are to confess our faith. And so how do we do that this time of year? Because if when we look at it, we have a lot of opportunity, again, to grow spiritually and to confess our faith. So let's go over, in the last few minutes here, three different scenarios that we're going to see. We probably already have, maybe in the last couple of weeks, but we definitely will in the next couple, and how we can handle them. So the first one is, I title Innocent Remarks. And this is the scenario where you're at the grocery store, maybe the restaurant, where you're checking out, and maybe the cashier or someone just says Merry Christmas, or, you know, now it's Happy Holidays. A lot of people don't even say Merry Christmas anymore. But just something in that passing, in kind of a passing moment. This isn't someone we know. This isn't something where we have this relationship going. This is just a passing moment. Now, in the past, you know, I've actually have heard of people that, you know, will hold the line up and be like, you know, pull out of the back pocket the booklet and be like, well, you know that, you know, we're, you know, Merry Christmas, what this comes from. And I think we've probably all heard stories of that. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I don't think that's appropriate, and I don't think that's how we should handle that situation. We can let our light shine in this situation simply by just smiling and wishing them a good day and going on. We have to be wise with and be a good example. And it would not be a good example to our faith, and I don't believe we would be doing a responsible job if we suddenly started trying to convert the checkout cashier, you know, united when there's 20 people behind us. That's a way to make some enemies probably really fast. Now, that's probably going to be the majority of instances. But I think what is important is just a smile and have a nice day. You don't even have to say anything. It's just a kind of an empty greeting, really. So even if you don't respond, no one's going to think anything. But I prefer, I think, a smile and have a nice day and just, you know, set a good example and go on. Now, the next situation is really what's the important one. And I call this real opportunities. And this is the part that I've struggled with a lot of my life that I think hopefully I'm getting better at. But these are the most important situations for us to handle correctly. And this is where Matthew 10 comes into play, and 1 Peter 3. These are situations where if it's at school, it's with a teacher, a classmate. If it's at work, a coworker, your boss, maybe an aunt or an uncle that maybe you see once a year, maybe it's a family reunion, whatever it may be. But these are situations where you have more one-on-one time and you've got some time to have a discussion. These are the situations where we have to do a really good job of defending our faith and confessing our faith in Jesus Christ. So this is a situation where, you know, maybe the question is, well, what are you doing for Christmas? Or maybe they've heard some strange rumor that you don't actually celebrate Christmas, you know, and how could that possibly be true? And so they come up to ask you. This is where, you know, you just can't ignore them and run away. It doesn't work. What we have to do is we have to be able to respond correctly. And this may sound silly, but I've actually, in times, practiced this. Because, again, I know where my history comes from, and I know where why I don't like this day. And, again, Betsy's helped me a lot with this as well. I've concentrated a whole lot today on saying celebrate Christmas, because whenever I know we first got married, and I would say observe or keep, and she was like, "What are you saying? People don't say that. I didn't observe or I didn't keep. You know, I celebrated Christmas." So there's terminology that we can use. with people. The main thing that I think we maybe don't do a great job of is we simply say, well, we don't celebrate Christmas. And then we just kind of stop and just let, well, let's let that bomb drop and what's going to happen? Right? Well, we've tried teaching the kids, Avery, especially Joel's not in school yet, but with her friends, is that's not where you stop. In fact, that's maybe not even where you start. Again, Betsy does a really good job of this, and I've listened to her over the years how she does it. The example would be, well, we don't celebrate Christmas, but we believe Jesus is our Savior. He was born. We fully believe in that, that He's our Savior, but we just don't celebrate Christmas. We don't think that's in the Bible or whatever we want to go on. The key there, if you just caught it, is we believe in Jesus. He is our Savior. And there's nothing wrong with us telling everyone in the world that, because that is the truth. And again, a lot of times during this time of year, again, we get defensive and we forget that, honestly, we forget that we're right. That's what it comes down to. But we forget that because we're told, and typically the majority rules, right? The majority is usually right, typically. And so we're in the extreme minority. So immediately in our subconscious, it's like we forget that we are right. We have God's truth. We know what the Bible says. We just have to remember that. And again, when you have all this other thing, all this stuff going around, and you have your experiences you had as a kid and your experience you've had adult and different things, we forget that. But we need to stay focused on that. And then, but share that. We believe in Jesus Christ. And that's the main thing I've told Avery. When people hear you don't celebrate Christmas, what they hear is you don't believe in Jesus. And now my friend's going to go to hell. That's what they think. And so we can defer a lot of that by simply just adding that sentence in. And again, I have to give Betsy credit for that. So, because she does a really good job of that. And again, from there, that might be it. That might satisfy them, and off you go. Or it may lead to a further conversation. But again, and we can be prepared to handle that. You know, if they ask us, well, why? What do you mean the Bible doesn't say to do that? Or whatever it may be. But in the end, what we've done with that is we've addressed the question. We've shared our faith that we believe in Jesus Christ and that He's our Savior. And we've done what Matthew 10 tells us to do. The last section is, I call combative. I don't think I've ever actually experienced this. I've had people tell me, but this is a situation where you just come across somebody, they just want to fight. maybe not physically, but verbally. Maybe physically, who knows. But verbally, that nothing you're going to say is going to convince them, and vice versa, and they just want to get in this big argument and just this big debate. And again, kind of similar to the first scenario, we have to be wise in the words that we say, and we have to also know when there's a time just to walk away and say, you know, we're obviously not going to agree on this. We need to, you know, move on. Let's talk about something else, whatever it may be. So again, there's nothing wrong with that either. There's nothing wrong with being wise and saying, you know what, this is not a good situation to be in. Let's move on and talk about it later or something else. Again, very, very rare. I've kind of just more heard about, I think my mom and dad actually had experience like that when they were converting over from with their parents, I believe. Weren't very happy about it. So, but situations like that can come up. And so there's nothing wrong with walking away either. So that's a valid response as well. Well, in conclusion, as I said earlier, you know, none of us here today physically celebrate Christmas. But can we say the same when it comes to mentally and when it comes to avoiding the Christmas spirit that is in our world? Do we let covetousness in our life? Do we sometimes try to blend the world's attitudes with that of what God expects from us? You know, over the next couple of weeks, whenever we hear someone or hear anything about Christmas, I hope that'll give us time to pause and think about that and kind of spend a second looking inside of ourselves to see what we need to fix and see how we need to remove ourselves from the world. Because I'm sure, I mean, if you're like me, we all get way too close to the world and way too wrapped up into it. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves to step out and get out of the way. And then obviously, we can't let the Christmas spirit infect our spiritual life. In fact, it's the opposite. We can actually use this time of year as an opportunity to share our beliefs and to share our faith in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Matthew. Some very good points. Would you all stand again? We're going to be singing page 80, By the Waters of Babylon, by special request. Page 80, By the Waters of Babylon.